Amen. Well, hello. Okay, you guys can take off your masks. It is okay, and you can respond. I like responses. Hello. Hey, guys. It's a privilege to be here with you tonight. I'm glad I get to do this with you tonight as we're keeping going with our series, Held Together. The focus of tonight and being held together is of the family. And so we're going to see, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to open up to Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 18. Okay? Now, if you don't be worried either, because I will show later the text up on the screen as well. But I love it when people have their Bible out. But I know this, that when we talk about family, not everybody is in the same place, right? There's three groups I usually talk about when it comes to the family. For those in the room, for some people, when they talk about their family, they get super excited. They light up. They're like, let me tell you about my family. Let me tell you about the memories we've made. I mean, there's excitement about it. They're happy about their parents. They're happy about if they have siblings, maybe their siblings, however they feel. And then there's a group, what I call in the middle, where they're, yeah, I got a family, but we do have some memories. We have some good moments. And then there's another group of people when we come to talk about family that don't have a good experience. And they're not excited about talking about the family. They'd actually, tonight, if they were in the room, they'd be like, all right, I'm out of here, see ya. Because they're like, let's not do this. But here's where I want to go with this tonight. As we're talking about being held together, we're going to talk about what it means to be a wife. So ladies, be ready, even though hopefully none of you are wives yet. Looking at you. Guys, we're going to talk about me be a husband, but hopefully none of you are husbands yet. No. Some of you are already admitting, no, I'm not. That's okay. We're also going to talk about what it means to be a children, a parent, a slave, which I'll talk about more as an employee, and masters, which I'll talk more about being a boss. But in the end, it all comes back to what we're going to talk about tonight is what Jackson talked about last week. In chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. So I'm going to show this slide real quick. I'm not going to go in detail in it because you learned it last week or you could hear it online. But here's some quick things before we dive into our actual text tonight is this. Verse 1 through 2, Paul talks about setting our hearts and our minds on things above. Looking to Christ, looking to God, right? The next thing he talks about is putting to death and get rid of these things in your life. And so he gives us this actually extensive list of what it looks like to not live the way Christ wants you to live. And he says, okay, now if you want to look like Christ, clothe yourself with these things, okay? And then he ends this section with put on love. And I love this because it goes along with what Luke is hoping for this series, is binds them all together in perfect unity. And it's interesting because most of us talk about family ourselves or family with our friends, and there's this idea of, okay, what does this look like? Well, we have to remember tonight two things. One, Christ in the lives of these people that are being written to. Paul's writing to Christ's followers, not just anybody, okay? So when he's challenging us to live a certain way, it's because we've chosen our life to follow Christ. The second thing is, for many of us in the room, we're not there yet, right, with a lot of these rules we're going to talk about tonight. So here's my hope for you. My hope for you is you don't tune out. My hope for you is you go, okay, if I want to be a follower of Christ, and here's these things I'm learning, how do I learn now to prepare for my future? Does that make sense? Another thing I want us to think about, too, is the idea of control versus influence. Now, here's the truth, right? We can't control our parents. We can't control our siblings as much as we might like to or think we can, right? But what we can do is we can influence. Each of these roles, you can't control the other people involved in the family unit. But what you can do through each of these roles we're going to talk through tonight is influence. So if you're a child, and you're the only follower of Christ in your family, you might not get to control your parents and where they stand and how they behave and what they do. But maybe you can influence your parents. Make sense? Now here's three things. Oh, missed the note. The next slide is this, and I want us to be this focused tonight before we get to the three things, is this. Well, we'll do the three things, and then we'll go back to the next last slide. The three things are this. As we live this out, or hope to, people will see evidence of Christ in our lives. Evidence is the key word in that one. My hope is I'm a dad, I'm a husband, right? I want to follow Christ. That as I live my life out, there will be evidence that Christ is guiding me. The second one is, we will see how to relate rightly with others. This is a value of Cherry Hills. We want to keep learning how to relate rightly to others. But here's the big thing. In the family, we learn how to relate rightly, right? Or we notice when we don't relate rightly, right? Anybody got any siblings in here? Yeah? Ever had a moment with your sibling or siblings? Yeah, where you didn't relate rightly? Yeah. But think about it. In those moments, it doesn't feel right in the end, right? There's something not right. I just had that moment before I came, not with my sister, but with my two sons. So I have my wife, Christy, and my two sons, Jonathan, who's 5, and Benjamin, who's 2.5. So Benjamin wants to play on this blanket. And now Jonathan has decided, I want to play on this blanket. Well, Benjamin's like, I don't want you playing on the blanket. And now Benjamin, at 2.5, and he's gotten bigger, is now to the point where I can actually do something about this. And so in that moment, he decides to shove Jonathan off the blanket and tell him, I don't want you on the blanket. So here comes big brother. 5-year-old big brother hooting and tooting, right? Like, you don't do that to the big brother. And he gets on and ready to, like, go at it. And I'm like, time out, you know? But all of a sudden, in our family, relating rightly went out the window, right? In that moment. Now, that story is very minute in the aspect of my family. Like, in the end, it didn't really affect my family. We don't deeply care in the long run, right? It's not going to be detrimental to the future of my family. But yet, even in that little moment, we weren't held together as a family because we weren't learning how to relate rightly. But yet, they're so young that it's hard, you know. I mean, I'm 39, and I have a sister, and I still pull some of those stunts on my sister. So what are you going to say? But the third thing is, it can be evaluation of where we're at personally. So when we look at the Bible, we don't just look at it as a window to look out and say, look out here at all these people. We hold the Bible up and go, okay, let's look back at ourselves. Am I living the way God wants me to live? Am I becoming who he wants me to be? And Paul gives us these things to say, okay, if you want to be a wife, a husband, a parent, you are children, an employee or a boss, what does that look like? So I want to go back to the last slide real quick, if you guys don't mind the back. And I want to say this. Here's our tagline for tonight. Families are held together by how we live, correct? Like how we live, our family will be held together or not. By our choices, by our actions. But here's the kicker. Because this is written to fellow believers, and I'm hoping everybody in here is, it also goes further. Families are held together by how we live because of Christ in our lives. And so when Paul writes this, he's hoping that same thing for everybody else. If you're a follower of Christ, here's how I'm calling you to live. Will you live that way? So let's jump in. Colossians 3, starting at verse 18. He starts with wives. And then he hits this thing that is not a popular verse in our culture anymore. Okay? Wives, submit yourselves to your husband as fitting in the Lord. And if you see, tonight I'm going to compare that to Ephesians, And I'm going to do that for every single one because it's really cool how Paul in Ephesians hits all these same topics, and you can actually put them side by side to get an even more in-depth study on this. But here's what I want to say. One, I'm not a woman, and two, no, I'm not a wife. Shocker, right? I know some of you are like, really? So I ended up talking to my wife about this. I'm like, okay, help me help these ladies in the room that maybe want to be married someday or even hope to be married someday. What should I say? What should I do? And she said this statement that really hit me. And so ladies in the room, I hope you hear this. She started talking about how a lot of times in sermons, it's usually heard about submitting, and submitting is a beautiful thing. I want to submit to the Lord, right? Like, if I want him to be my Savior and my Lord in my life, I want to submit to him and go, okay, this. But one of the things my wife has taught me about submission is twofold. She's taught me that, man, if you're really living the way God wants you to live, me, she goes, it's not a question. And it's not like I'm less than you thing. It's like, I want to do this with you. The other side of submission that she brings in, and I've learned a ton from her on this, is the idea of, can I submit this idea to you? Can I submit this question? Not because I'm her authority in that sense, but, hey, can we talk about this? Like, I'm not just going to come in and tell you what to do. I want to do this with you. And hopefully, if I'm in the right place as the husband, then it works together. We're held together. But here's a statement she made to me. She said, the Lord will not lead you down a path against God. True? Yeah. And this is where she's basing it off, as you'll see in the yellow, as it's fitting to the Lord, right? She's saying, hey, if I'm going to submit to you as my husband, you better be behaving as a Christ follower, as Christ would to God. So she said it. The Lord will not lead you down a path against God, and neither should a Christ-following husband. He should never lead you away from God or against what God wants for you. Here's the other thing. She's my wife. That's a title, right? But we can't forget, guys in the room, that they're also our sister in Christ. Can't forget that. My wife is also my sister in Christ. And that's why we're not there yet. When we get to Ephesians with the husband, I read that to her in our wedding. Because I hope to be that kind of husband for her. But it goes both ways. Being held together takes two, right? It's not just one or the other. It's not just the wife doing this role, right? So let's look at the husband here. Verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh to them. In Ephesians, I love that, how it words it. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You hear that, guys in the room? If you want to be a husband someday or hope to be a husband someday, how are you going to love your wife? How are you going to show her you love her? The other part is Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Think about this, guys. That's a huge sacrifice. Which means, guess what? It's not about me. I think part of the reason a lot of these issues come up and topics come up from the Bible is struggles is because we're not focused on living this together. Living the way God wants us to be held together. And so there's a number of guys out there all worried about submission. And ladies in the room, I want to encourage you. If you get in a relationship and this guy is talking to you about marriage and he's all about, though, submission, and that's all he's thinking about, I would say flag, throw the flag out. Because if he really loves you, he won't be so focused on that as much as he will be serving you. And guys, if you really want to get a classy woman, and I got, like, I upgraded by my wife, like she is awesome. Then it starts with us and our hearts and our loving and our serving and our giving ourselves up. And how we live. And what kind of leader are we going to be in our families, to our wives? Now I want to go back to the next slide, to the text earlier. And this is why. So when you see this, right? Now think about this as wives and husbands. If both wives and husbands are setting our hearts and our minds on things above, it's going to be a little easier to live the way Christ wants us to, right? Now think about this. If both husband and wife are striving together to put to death and get rid of those things, there's a better chance for those two to be held together. And if we're focused on clothing ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, we'll have an easier time being held together as a couple. But it goes both ways. It goes both ways. So if you want to be a wife someday, ladies, or hope to, or guys, you want to be a husband someday, or hope to, are you going to strive to be like Christ is calling you? I'll tell you what, nothing excites me more than hearing a bunch of students that go, I want to live the way Christ wants me to in every way, and they go after it. And I'll tell you what, if even just the few people in this room tonight ran after this wholeheartedly, you'd see better marriages in our country. You'd see more influence of marriage, a healthy marriage in our country. But here's the truth. Wives, even if your husband in the moment isn't living the way we're hoping, or husbands, we're not doing things, whatever, we can't control each other. I can't control my wife, Christy. She can't control me. But guess what? We can influence each other. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons I love my wife, and there's many, but one of the big reasons is because she influences me a lot. Because she wants to be who God wants her to be. And that impacts me. Now we get to move on to the next phase of the family, and this is where you guys live in right now, and this is where every time I've taught something like this, I hear students go, oh, man, the children. Dun, dun, dun. But hey, I'm 39 and I'm still somebody's child, so don't feel like we're not in this together. I still behave like a kid a lot, so maybe we're more equal than we think, just I'm a lot older. I'm almost 40. That's crazy. But I'm a huge dork, so it doesn't matter. Anyways, so children, here's for you guys to live now, okay? So we talk wise husband, future, right? Children now. How are you guys going to live now? It says this, obey your parents in, I'm going to make you answer it. In what? What's your text say? Dun, dun, dun! Everything, right? I guarantee somewhere in this room, I already know a phrase coming out. What if? What if my parents do this? What if my parents act this way? What if my parents treat me this way? What if, what if, what if, what if? I mean, we play that game all the time, right? We play that to God. What if, God? But here's the thing. All these roles come back to our heart condition. What kind of heart do we have? Do we have a heart that's following after Christ? Or is it about me? Ephesians talks about this, and I highlighted from the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 20, honor your father and mother. All the way back from when Israel was created and started as an official people group, God said, hey, one of the ways I want you to live, especially you kiddos, is I want you to honor your father and mother. And there actually comes a promise with it, which is really cool. But what I want to focus on is that honor also ties back to the obeying. Now, let's be honest. There are boundaries. So I'm not going to stand in front of you tonight and go, if they're leading you somewhere where God doesn't want you to go, or they're behaving in a way that's not godly, I'm not saying you obey. Now, I don't mean to be defiant, because I've had students come up and ask me that later. Well, can I be defiant then? No, that's not where I'm going with this, because it's a heart condition. But what kind of kid do you want to be? Here's the amazing thing that I love about kids and students. You have more influence than you'll ever know. You realize that? You'll have more influence than you'll ever know. You can influence your parents. You can't control them, but you can influence them. So what kind of child do you want to be? Now, the beauty of the Bible is there are plenty of other places if you want to learn more of what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a wife, what it means to be a man, what it means to be a husband, what it means to be a follower of God. I mean, you can read the whole Bible and you'll get all that stuff. But as you're at the phase you're at right now, what kind of child do you want to be? And it goes back to the first 17 verses. And do you want to influence those around you? And then it goes on. It doesn't stop there. So this is where I always laugh, because a lot of people will stop there and go, okay, kids, listen up. And then boom, that's it, right? We're done. See you next week. You know what's interesting about Paul? What was that? Whoo! I might have almost peed my pants. That was a little scary, whatever that was. Fathers, and some people will say the text really means parents, but we'll just stick with fathers because I'm a father tonight. But ladies, you can live this out too. Do not embitter your children, which can mean like irritate, make them resentful at you, or they will become discouraged. Anybody ever been discouraged by your parents? And I'm not trying to pick on your parents, but just being honest, you don't have to raise your hand. That's not what I'm calling for. But the question I ask is, have you been discouraged because they've truly taken it to that level, or are you just discouraged because you didn't get that toy? There's a difference we're talking about here. This actually hits home with me, obviously, because I'm a dad. I think of my sons a lot when I read texts like this. Like, what does that look like? What does that mean? And I find it interesting when you partner it with Ephesians, it ends with, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. If my heart is in the right place, if I'm trying to live out the first 17 verses in chapter 3, I hope I'm being the best daddy for my boys I can be. And all of you in this room know when your parents are at their best and when they're at their worst. And you're like, this is awesome. I wish they could be there all the time. This other side, we could let this go a little bit more. But it's interesting when it talks about the instruction. I thought of a moment a few years ago with Jonathan. And it's not always easy, because I don't know if your parents are like me, but like, I want to be my son's hero, right? I don't need the cape. I mean, if you've ever watched Incredibles, they give you a good reason not to have a cape. There's a lot of bad things that happen to people with capes. But I want to be the hero, though. But yet, my job as a parent or a dad isn't to lead them to me. It's to lead them to who? Christ, right? So we were at my parents' house in Iowa, and we're watching the TV, and we've always tried to protect our boys the best we can from what comes on TV. You know, there's scary stuff. There's not appropriate stuff that comes on TV. So this night, we're sitting in my parents' living room. Chrissy just took Benjamin to put him to bed, and I'm sitting with Jonathan on the couch. We're hanging out with Grandma and Grandpa. We're watching TV, and out of nowhere, this commercial comes on, and I didn't have a time to stop Jonathan from seeing it. And it was this TV preview, and in the TV preview, this guy is like killing this woman and blood's happening and all this stuff. And here's my like 2 or 3 year old like, and I'm like, oh no. So we go downstairs after that to put him to bed, and you know, I have a choice in this moment. I can be his hero, or at least try to be, or I can say, buddy, I'm gonna lead you to God in this moment. Because that's really what he needed to know more. And I went down, and we talked about it, and you could just see it on his face, right? Like, he is terrified at this moment. Like, who would do that to somebody? I said, "Buddy, what's going on?" He goes, "Daddy, I'm scared. I saw that commercial, and why does that guy do that to her?" And I said, "Buddy, sadly, you saw something that's true, is not everybody's very nice to everybody." And before he went to bed, we had read his Bible, because we do that every night together. We read his Bible, and I said, "Buddy, let's talk a little bit." And he goes, "Okay," and because I could just tell it was not good. And if I put him to bed like that and tried to be his hero, like, I was going to be up, like, I don't know how many times, because he was going to get scared. Nightmares, right? So I said, "Buddy, you know how much Daddy loves you, right?" And, you know, his little arms, three-year-old arms, right? Like, "Daddy loves me this much," you know, stretching as far as he can. And I'm like, "Yeah, buddy, I love you a ton. I can't even explain to you how much I love you." And I said, "But you want to know something really cool?" And he goes, "What?" And I said, "God loves you way more." And he's like, "No way." And I was like, "I can't even tell you, explain to you fully how much God loves you. But he loves you way more than Daddy even does. And for him, he's like, I know my daddy loves me a lot. That's huge." And this is where Ephesians comes out, right? Train and instruct in the Lord. When you become a parent someday, if you get to or want to, are you going to lead your kids to Jesus, or are you going to not worry about it? So what we did is we talked about how much God loves us, and I said, "Buddy, I really believe if we pray tonight before you go to bed, God, help me from bad dreams coming, will you protect me tonight, that he'll do it." And so we prayed that. We actually prayed that prayer before I put him to bed, and I put him to bed, and he went to sleep, and actually we didn't get up the whole night. And I was kind of like, "Okay, I hope he's okay." And so I get up, I go in the living room. He comes out of the room with the biggest smile on his face, and I'm like, "Okay, where is this going?" And sometimes that means he pooped. But anyways, he comes out with this big smile on his face. I'm like, "Buddy, what's going on?" He goes, "Daddy, God loves me so much." And I'm like, "Yeah, he does. But why do you say that?" And he goes, "He protected me from any bad dreams." And in that moment, as much as it was hard for me not to be his hero, he learned a little bit more about God that night. So as you're thinking about your future, what kind of parent do you want to be, if you're going to be one or want to be one? And then the last two things Paul brings up are actually family still. I think a lot of times in America when we talk about slaves and masters, we instantly picture the South, right? We instantly picture American slavery, and that's not where this is going. In Rome and Greek lives, a lot of slaves were a part of the family, actually. And they would just work within the household. But here's what I want to do tonight. I don't want it to seem unbiblical, and I'm not trying to be unbiblical, but what I want to do is title these employee for current day and boss for current day, okay? What kind of employee do you want to be or hope to be? And if you ever get to be a boss or want to be a boss, what kind of boss are you going to be? And so it says this in Colossians 3 when it talks about slaves. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in what? Everything. There's that thing again. Like, everything. Come on, Paul, really? Can you, like, slack it down a little bit? But here's why. At the very end, in the yellow, it says, it is the Lord Christ you're serving. And in Ephesians, it says, as if you're serving the Lord. Here's the thing. I have the privilege of working at Cherry Hills. And I get to work with amazing staff, and my bosses, like, actually want to be who Christ wants them to be. And they want the same for me. Not everywhere you work, it's going to be that way. My wife does not work in a place where people, everybody wants to be a follower of Christ or wants to be that way. So she has to figure out how to do this. I'm so proud of her because she looks at this and goes, hey, I'm called to be in the medical field. I'm gifted to be in the medical field. And even though not every day things go the way I would hope or the way I'm treated, I still want to serve the Lord. And so she goes after it with her patients. She loves her patients. She cares for them. So as you figure your life out, as you get older and look to your future and think about your future, don't just think about what kind of wife or husband or parent, but also think about what kind of employee am I going to be? Even on my worst days at my job, will I still look and try to serve God anyways? And for those that someday might be a boss or want to be a boss at some place, it's interesting. It doesn't stop there and go, okay, slaves. It goes to the boss too. Provide your slaves or your employees with what is right and fair, because why? You know that you also have a master in heaven. And it's repeated in Ephesians 5. So someday, if you become a boss, what kind of boss are you going to be? Are you going to be one that is evident of Christ? Are you going to try to relate rightly with your employees? Like it says right here, are you going to do what's right and be fair? Or are you going to be about you and the way you want it and your money and all these other things that could be that's the thing of the world? Because let's be honest, a lot of this text, it's either do it the way of Christ or do it the way of culture and popular trends. View it the way Christ does or view it the way culture and popular trends do. And that's where we come to finish tonight, the question. Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? Not who everybody else wants you to be or hopes you to be. Who do you want to be? Now, if you looked at me and go, who do I want you to be? Well, I would hope you'd say a Christ follower and living that out completely. But even in that, even if your parents want that for you, you still have to choose. Because you know what? Someday, and you guys are juniors and seniors, so this is getting scary because I know quite a few of you, you're about ready to either graduate or get close to graduation, and then you're going to move on with your own life. And so you have to start making your own choices in that sense of, who do I want to be? Well, here's my thing. If you want to be who Christ wants you to be, live it today and also prepare for your future. Do both. Live as Christ wants you today, but also live in such a way that you're preparing to be who he wants you to be in the future. I knew when I was in high school, I wanted to be a husband and get married someday. I actually had my eyes on a girl in high school, and I thought, there she is. Before high school's over, I'm going to be married, and she's going to be the one. Didn't happen. Very clearly, it didn't happen. It wasn't until I was 30 that I finally met my wife, and we got married. But here's what God put on my heart. I wanted to be a Christ follower. I wanted to be the man God wanted me to be, and I hoped to be the husband and father and all that stuff when I got there. And so what I started doing is I lived that day in a way to say I'm a Christ follower, but I also lived in such a way that I started reading the Bible and I started reading books of what it meant to be a man. And not just a man, a godly man. And I started reading what it meant to be a husband already, even though I wasn't a husband yet. And I started already reading what it meant to be a father, a godly father, even though I wasn't one yet. You can do that too. If you want to be a wife someday or hope to be or a husband or a parent, live today in such a way to be that godly person you're being called to be, but then prepare for those moments. Live in such a way today to be the child God's calling you to your parents. And if you become an employee or possibly a boss someday, live now to be the person God wants you to be to prepare for that moment. But it all comes down to the main question. Who do you want to be? And when you choose that, my hope and my prayer for you is that you'll live it today and prepare for tomorrow. The beauty is you have the Bible right here to show you what it looks like. And tonight you got a little glimpse. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for each of these students. And I pray for each of these students. God, I pray for anybody in this room that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior. My prayer for them is that their first step is making you that Lord and Savior and starting that relationship with you and then living today as that start and start preparing the rest of their life to live that way. And for those in the room that already have made that decision to be a Christ follower, my prayer for them is that they would choose to be who you want them to be. And that, God, they would live that out today and live that out in the future. So, God, be with these juniors and seniors as they're finishing up their years in high school. And help them, help it be evident that you're in their life and help them to know how to live rightly with each other. But, God, mostly I pray for the families in this room that are represented. God, I pray that you will work in our lives in such a way that we can hold our families together. So God, just help us, guide us, and lead us in that. In your name, amen. So,